from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you, and by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble.
Today I'll find out what's going on at the Athenaeum.
I get to chat with the new president of the World Federation of Music Competitions, Indianapolis' own Glenn Kwok.
Plus, we'll check out what's going on at the White River State Park this summer. And, of course, we'll have our arts calendar that we call What Do We Do?
All this and more right after the latest news from NPR. Hey, meet me at the A. That's what the people at the Athenaeum hope to hear people say this summer. Calling the Athenaeum the A is part of a whole new campaign to promote this great big brick building, as Travis DiNicola found out from the Athenaeum Foundation's Cassie Stockamp.
Cassie, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you in the studio today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, meet me at the A. That's the new slogan for the Athenaeum?
That is our new slogan. Because how do you say Athenaeum and how do you spell it?
Athenaeum. And then there's
exactly.
That funky A that like
A-E,
runs into the E.
Exactly.
Yeah, what is up
so
with that?
So, we've been able, with the good fortune of CICF, exactly, come up with some money to really come up with a new branding and tagline in Ray Compton and his group came up with, let's give this old building a nickname, Meet Me at the A. It's tweetable, it's textable, you know, the Y at the A, the beer garden at the A, and just come up with a common contemporary use for this old historic building.
So you're not getting rid of the name Athenaeum?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No. We need to continue. I mean, in 1917, the original name of the building was Das Deutsche Haus, but because of the wars, it all went underground.
And that's even trickier.
Which is even more difficult.
Right.
Exactly. We even talked about, do we take it back to that? But we determined that since 1917, you know, we've got this Athenaeum, which means a gathering place of cultures. So it's appropriate because the building's still being used, obviously, as a community center. But again, we wanted something more contemporary that's appealing. We all are looking for that, you know, this now generation, and how do we engage them, and how do we make a brick building? I keep laughing. I am having so much fun working in an old brick building, but how do we serve, and how do we engage those people to make them value something that's historic and architecturally significant in this community? So
calling it the A. I saw an interesting study you had done that what about half the people in Indianapolis have at one time or another
been in the A? Absolutely, in one component or another, whether it's the Rathskeller or the Y or the theater. Because, again, it is such a large old building, and there's a lot of people that have been. So our objective is twofold. Number one, how do we get people to use different parts of the building, not only using it as a silo, but how do we get them to cross-pollinate each other? But then how do I turn them into donors? You know, let's be candid that we're all fundraisers here. How do we get people to love and acknowledge this building?
So. Now, you're running the Athenaeum Foundation, which
correct.
Sort of oversees the building and then works with all the different other organizations that inhabit your building.
Exactly. The foundation owns the physical structure, and the other major tenants are in there that we work closely with and obviously try to collaborate with. It's a true community of many senses.
And briefly, I mean, for those who are the half who may not have been at the building, it's basically right at the corner of Michigan and off of Mass Avenue.
Mass and flanked by New Jersey and East Street, in that long section down there, right across the Marat.
Across from Rock. Great big building, fantastic building. With as you said, of course, there's the beer garden and the Rathskeller. The Cabaret Theater used to be there. There's a YMCA there.
A lot of other people house the building in terms of their Young Actors Theater is there. Indy Metro Church meets there. Rotary Club has their offices there. Indianapolis Baroque is there. So, I mean, I smile when I look at the variety of people that are in and out of this old building.
In a moment, I want to talk about some of the things you've got coming up,
because
I know you've got some really interesting events that are coming up this summer and this fall. But briefly, you mentioned the old Deutsche Haus. It was this German community center. Tell me about how the building got started. It was designed by Kurt Vonnegut's grandfather?
Exactly. Good.
Okay.
Vonnegut and Bone. In 1850s, the free thinkers came into this country because they were oppressed in Germany, and they truly were abolitionists, women right activists. They were forward-thinking people, and by 1894, they had amassed enough money to build this wonderful old building. It was an association. The Turmverein, which was the now what we call the gymnasium, was the first well, not the first, but one of the first physical fitness centers in the community.
Okay.
So the Germans believed in, the whole building is based on the premise of a sound mind and a sound body, mm-hmm. by Friedrich Jahn. So that is it's amazing how relevant that is today. We mm-hmm. talk about holistic perspectives. So that we have the gymnastics center. There were 9 bars in the building originally, though. So those
wow.
Germans, isn't that fun? I've got many people that would like to go back to that original model because they love to play hard.
Yeah.
The intellectual pursuit, the hallways are called neutral hallways because there was such debate and conversation going on, stimulation, that people needed a way to have free passage so they weren't absconded by conversation. And the theater is the first theater in the city. The Germans brought drama and theater and dance back into this community.
I did not know that.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
So this is truly one of the few buildings that remains in the city. It's being used as it was originally designed.
Yeah.
So we feel it's a real gift that we need to maintain. And many of the board members said, if our goal simply was to save the building, just the physical structure, we turn it into condos, right?
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
you turn it over. But that's not what the intent of that building. We want to remain true to its original soul and intent of the building, and we're working hard at doing that and really moving towards being self-sustaining. That's the other piece of this, right? Mm-hmm. We need to be financially solvent and sufficient. So.
And as you said, it really is a true community meeting place.
It is. And mm-hmm. I know Indy Reese has worked, mm-hmm. done quite a bit there. We're thrilled to have you. And again, our motto that we have come up with is, how do we serve? We're a brick building.
Yeah.
How does a brick building serve? So we're reaching out to the community saying, we're here. It's an inspiring place. It's unique. It's different. So please come and use our building in such a way that will help further the community. So we're reaching out to groups like yours and many other groups that are using the building on a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
Now, I know you've had some really cool recent events. The Nouveau's Culture Awards mm-hmm. were just there, as well as the Smaller Indiana events.
Exactly.
But you've got some stuff coming up. What is the the original and fabulous German Fest?
There you go. It is going to be our, I'm not going to say it, it will be our first annual German Fest. We're going to own a German Fest. We're going to close the street down. We're going to have outdoor theaters. We're going to have activities both inside and outside. Obviously, lots of beer, bratwurst. And this was the first time under the assistance with Sven Schumacher, who is the German consul here in town, we brought mm-hmm. together every German club in town. The old adage is, if there's 2 Germans together, there's 3 clubs. So I guess sometimes there's been a little bit of headbanging in the past. And they all laughed about that. And everyone is willing and wants to move past that and say, how do we work together? How do we share this German-American story? Because it had a tremendous impact and influence on Indianapolis, and we need to be all doing a better job sharing that story. So they're all coming together. We'll be participating in a variety of different ways, whether they're dancing with the Oompa band or providing food or selling goods and merchandise or just educating, as well as we'll have, obviously, street vendors. We're going to do a big fundraiser that evening. We're bringing in a Beatles sound-alike band, 1964.
Oh, cool. When they were playing in Germany, right?
They were playing in Hamburg. That's
Hamburg,
where the Beatles found their following. So they work from like 7 o'clock at night till 3 a.m. for 6 years in Hamburg, and then before coming to the States. So it's everything German. We're trying to really broaden that reach and probably bring Polka Boy in. We're hoping to get them scheduled. So it's just going to be a big fun celebration. So October 10th, 10:10.
October 10th, okay.
Put it on your calendar and plan on coming down for a festival. So it should be fun.
That sounds excellent. Now, you know, one of the real treats that I had just a few months ago was seeing a ballet on the stage at the Athenaeum in the theater there. And it's such a great space for seeing productions like that. I know you've got some new things coming up there as well.
We sure do. The Indianapolis Philharmonic is making it their home. The Indianapolis mm-hmm. Jazz Orchestra has several different events. And we are actually finalizing a deal with a couple of major organizations that will change kind of the face of the theater, and I can't divulge yet because it's not been finalized, but we're really excited about the opportunities. Again, it's just another way to strengthen Mass Ave and to bring more people down on the avenue as well as into the building. So it's going to be really a fun opportunity for us.
Now, do you have one sort of course every organization has their own calendar, but do you have like a master calendar that people can see what's going on at the A this week?
We are working on that. We've been blessed with a graduate student at IUPUI, and we're totally getting our website.
Okay.
And that is one thing that we want to be able to provide to the community. So not yet, but we will.
We're getting close to that.
Yeah, thank you. So
okay. Well, we'll stay updated on that. Cassie, anything else you want to share about what's going on at the A?
You know, there are always...
It's so easy to say.
Do you like that? Good.
I do. Yeah.
You know, there's a fun series that's going on in the Rathskeller. Actually in the beer garden Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, where they have partnered with the American Pianist Society, the Violinist Competition, the Jazz Society, and they're bringing every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. They're having more of a cultural, little low key. I mean, the beer garden can get rocky,
oh,
so
yeah.
This is more cultural and focused. And on a Sunday night at 6 o'clock, come and have a beer or a broad under the stars and listen to a very
cool.
That's a fun.
I mean, because there's always great concerts there. But you're right. I mean, it's usually more rock concerts and stuff that are taking place at the Beer Garden and all that. So.
Yeah. So this is just a little different kind of cultural event, and obviously draws to the local community there at Lockerbie, as well as on a Sunday night it's usually a little bit quieter. But there's nothing more fun than sitting outside on a beautiful evening and just relaxing.
And those events start at
6 o'clock in the Beer Garden. Yeah.
Very good.
So that, and obviously 10:10. I want to keep plugging that. 10:10. People put on their calendar for the original and fabulous.
Original and fabulous German Fest. Well, Cassie, thanks a lot for coming into Art of the Matter. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
You bet. And I'll see you at the A.
Travis DiNicola with the Athenaeum Foundation's Cassie Stockamp. You can find out more about the A by visiting AthenaeumFoundation.com. I'm going to spell that because it's harder than spelling afoundation.com. It's A-T-H-E-N-A-E-U-M Foundation.com. Or you can simply call 655-2755 in the 317 area code 655-2755. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Glenn Kwok has frequent flyer miles to spare already, but his portfolio of them will soon be full to bursting. The energetic executive director of the International Violin Competition of Indianapolis was recently named president of the World Federation of Music Competitions, the first North American to be so honored in the five-decade history of the federation. Sharon Gamble found out more about what this honor means and got a little sneak preview of the 09-10 Laureate Series when she invited Glenn into our studios.
Well, congratulations on being the first American elected to the presidency of the World Federation of Music Competitions. I want you to, in layman's terms, define what this organization does.
It's the World Federation of International Music Competitions, which is based in Geneva, Switzerland, and it really serves as the international governing body of all the top, or I should say the major international classical music competitions in all genres. So we're talking about strings,
so all the piano
competitions,
all the voice,
even percussion, chamber music, guitar, composition, and even conducting.
Wow.
So right now there are 129 members on 6 continents, and so really what this organization acts sort of as a policymaker of trying to really create best practices for these competitions as well as competitions worldwide, whether a member or not, to follow, because what we're after is creating the best environment for the artists to compete in. Interestingly enough, obviously the concept of competition probably hasn't changed in hundreds of years since Olympic times. So the actual concept of competing, whether sports or music, is the same. But what we do try to do now, as times have changed, and certainly career building and things like that has changed immensely over the last few decades, is that we're trying to create competitions that are extremely fair. We want participants to know wherever they go around the world that they will be treated well, they will have the best pianists to play with, the best orchestras that they are possible, fair rehearsal amount of time, and also judging process. That's very, very important.
Well, in many regards, the Indianapolis, quote unquote, I'm going to use the casual term for it, the Indianapolis,
great, yes,
which is how it's known now around right. the world, is kind of a role model in all of those categories. I mean, okay, full disclosure here, I used to work for the International Violin Competition of Indianapolis, and I may sound like I still have a PR hat on about it, but you know, it's not just a good story, it's reality when young participants come from other competitions and they say, oh, this is so much warmer, so much more gracious, I feel like even if I didn't make it past the first round, I'm being treated so well.
In fact, that just reminds me of one of the most beautiful stories I was told even before the first round started. A gentleman from Europe commented, he said, Glenn, I have had such an amazing time at the opening ceremonies.
Aww.
It would be worth it just to come back for that. And he
Aww.
Didn't even play a note yet. But that gives you're absolutely right. That just gives a little bit of the sentiment which these kids feel when they're here. They feel treated, that they are treated with such respect at every level, from the time that they are met at the airport to every round that they play at the competition to the time that they're taken to the airport. And we do feel very fortunate and privileged to be known and recognized around the world for many of the best practices. That's why we are used as a model in all competitions, and often I'm invited to give talks about how we do things at the Indianapolis, and I'm always very, very proud to share that with my colleagues. And so this appointment, certainly I am extraordinarily privileged and honored to have this opportunity, being the first actually even non-European president in the history of the Federation, which is now 53 years old. I'm the seventh president. The first four presidents came from Geneva, believe it or not. And then so now they were finally breaking out of the mold
breaking
a little
out.
Bit. Exactly.
So how long is the term?
Well, the term is 3 years. Mm-hmm. However, there is a maximum of 3 terms. And I always tell people, let's just take this first term and see how things go,
sure.
even though all my predecessors served the maximum 9 years.
Well, I'm trying to decide whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that you're going into this new responsibility, you know, almost on the eve of the next competition here.
Right. Well, the way I looked at it is this was actually the first election that they had in 9 years, because my predecessor, who was from Denmark, served for 9 years. And so I figured there's probably no better or worse time, since our competition is every 4 years. My duties will straddle the duties to the Federation will ultimately straddle the competition at the same time, no matter when the opportunity came up. And I decided, well, I better just try for it now. And
sure.
So that's what we did.
Well, what a feather in the cap for you personally, for the Indianapolis, and also for our city. You know, we are going to be on a map in a new way because of this.
Absolutely. That's what I was really thinking about it in that way. I'll speak on behalf of North Americans, because we do have about a dozen competitions represented in the Federation, and most of those are piano competitions.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have been a member of the Federation collectively, probably the earliest, going back maybe as much as almost 30 years, but we've never been able to break into this senior leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt that since we were given this opportunity, that I would certainly try to put my name in for the nomination, and that's why I feel really, really proud on behalf of not only the Indianapolis, but on behalf of North America.
Absolutely. Now, I know you already do quite a bit of travel, and you do go to other competitions. Does this give you even more access to how things are done, more access to ideas that you can not only share best practices from here, but maybe emulate some that you didn't have access to before?
Right, and that's a great way of looking at it, because as president, I will be invited to give I will be invited in an honorary role to attend competitions around the world. For instance, I have already been invited to Pretoria, South Africa,
wow.
to attend the finals of a violin competition that they are having there. And you're absolutely right. They want the presidents to attend in order to have somebody come and watch what they're doing and give ideas. But you're absolutely right. I think that we certainly can learn a lot regardless of how many years we've been in the business, I always feel like we have lots to learn from our peers. And I am looking forward to this opportunity. In early August, I will also be giving a speech at the closing ceremonies of the Cleveland International Piano Competition. So there will be many opportunities in different corners of the world, and certainly in all genres. That's what I'm excited to see, other competitions, not just violin competitions,
sure,
but to see the other genres as well.
Now, we should have you back after you've been doing this for a couple of years to see. I know you'll have some stories. But meanwhile, you just recently announced your new season of chamber music, and you have some. You always have some great artists, but you're inviting some special folks to celebrate the. I can't believe it's the Gingold Centennial already.
That's right. Next year is the 2009-10 Laureate Series season for us, and one of the real highlights of the season will be the Joseph Gingold Centennial Celebration. We will be celebrating the 100th anniversary of his birth, and so we are excited to bring back some of his former students who are also our laureates, and those include Andres Cardenas, who just retired as the concertmaster of the Pittsburgh Symphony, mm-hmm, and Na Yen Hu, who was not only our laureate way back in 1982, but he was also the gold medalist of our wonderful colleague, the Queen Elizabeth Competition in Brussels. And so that's going to be a very special evening to remember, of course, our founding artistic director Joseph Gingold. A couple of the other wonderful concerts that we have, our opening concert in September is actually going to feature our jury president Jamie Laredo and his wife, the cellist Sharon Robinson, our laureate Ida Kavafian, who has also served as one of our jury members, and her husband. Many people may not know that her husband is a renowned violist named Steve Tenenbaum with the Orion String Quartet. And then we also bringing in the Miami String Quartet with our 1990 bronze medalist Ivan Chan. So that's going to be a wonderful pairing of family members. And then we're going to finish with the incredible Mendelssohn Octet. So we're really looking forward to that. And we're actually going to have that concert in a new location because, as many of the listeners know, the Indiana History Center is under renovations.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to open at the Civic Theater. So we're looking forward to partnering with them for the first time.
Smart.
And having a wonderful opening there. And then once the History Center opens up, we are going to have several concerts back in our regular home, which we love, the Basile Theater. We are actually going to bring back Yura Lee from the 2006 competition with Ronin. We are going to bring back Marco Rizzi from Italy. He's going to have a concert with the Violin Virtuosi. That's the group from Bloomington, Indiana, mm-hmm, under the tutelage of Mimi Zweig. And then our 1986 gold medalist, Kyoko Takazawa. She has just been doing spectacularly well ever since she won here so many years ago as an 18-year-old. Her career just blossomed so beautifully today as one of the most highly regarded violinists in the world. And so she's going to finish our season next year with one of our regular pianists, Akira Eguchi. And then In recent seasons, we've started something new. We've been doing what we call crossover concerts. Always one concert dedicated to a concert that features the violin in a genre other than classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year we're bringing Joe Denison, and that name may sound familiar to some people because we featured him in our outdoor Fiddle Fever festival a few years ago. Now I can't believe it's already been seven or 8 years, but he was such a hit. He is a fantastic jazz fiddler from New York City. He actually went to IU, studied with Joseph Gingold, so he's classically trained, but his passion was in jazz, and he's going to bring his trio, and we're also going to add actually a rhythm section, so it'll be a quartet that
Ooh.
Evening, and we're going to do that in the Lilly Hall of the Indiana History Center. So that rounds out the season for next year.
You know, I was sitting here thinking if I had pencil and paper, I'd try to draw the family connections. I mean, some of them literal, as in marriages or long have been some of them, you know, friendships, but also the who studied with whom and has been influenced by. There are so many tangled connections, it would very quickly look like a bird's nest, I'm sure. But that's a good thing in the world of music.
That's right. The music world is very small, and we are always so happy when we see all these different connections come into play.
Mm-hmm. Where are you? I know with the competition coming up in a little over a year that there's a cycle to this that the general public doesn't see, and it's probably appropriate. It's not as though you just start working on a competition on, say, September 1st of the year of the competition, but how are things going and what's happening right about now in preparation for next fall?
Well, this is perhaps our most intense time period because we're a little over 1 year out from the competition, and like any major event, when you have to plan every minute of 3 weeks, they're just thousands of details of, you know, when years out you work on big detail items, and then as we get closer, of course, you bring out the magnifying glass and work out every single minute of those days. And that's where we stand right now. We have to finalize you have all the artistic elements, then you have all the practical elements of bringing people from all over the world. One of our most exciting things that we always enjoy is not only bringing people to Indianapolis, but sharing the competition with people from all over the world through our internet broadcasts and radio broadcasts. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. So that takes a lot of planning. And then what really happens in the 3 years that follow the competition that the public, general public, doesn't see is that we do tremendous career management for our laureates, specifically the gold medalists. So I am very pleased to share, for instance, that our 2006 gold medalist, Augustine Haderlisch, who's German but born and raised in Italy, and then came here after studying at the Juilliard School, mm-hmm. came here, won the gold medal, and today he is now playing weekly in a different city across the globe.
Wow.
This is so exciting.
What a success story.
And for instance, at the end of this summer, he's going to get his Cleveland Orchestra debut at the Blossom Festival. And he just was awarded the Avery Fisher Career Grant in New York City for an award of $25,000. And several CDs have been released. And the concerts just keep coming in. And every conductor I talk to who's worked with him is just blown away by his artistry. And so we are so proud of him and so proud to see that his career has taken off and that all the exposure around the competition from when he won and all the engagements that came as a result. And he has a wonderful agent, Schmidt Artist in New York, who of course was also very, very pleased that everything has come together so well. So this is actually what happens in the 3 years following the competition, that that we really care so much about what happens to his career following the competition, because that is what is going to propel his career in the future. I always say prizes are wonderful to get a big cash prize, but that's exhaustible. Prizes don't make careers, but concert opportunities do. So he's playing recitals, solo orchestra engagements.
Does he ever call you up and say, "You're wearing me out, stop"?
No, he's loving it. He is loving it. He is so excited. I think what he calls me about is he is so worried about August 2010 when he has to return, August or September when he has
to
return the Stradivari violin,
because
he realizes that his time is up with the violin and that he's going to need another fine instrument. So that's probably first and foremost on his mind every time he calls is, did you find me another violin?
You are beaming like a dad. You realize that.
Yeah. Well, I am really proud of him, and he's just done so well. And that's, like I said, that's what we hope for.
Sharon Gamble and Glenn Kwok, Executive Director of the International Violin Competition of Indianapolis and President of the World Federation of Music Competitions. Find out more about the Indianapolis at violin.org. That's right. It's just violin.org.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
I have something fun for you to do on any given Saturday afternoon this summer.
Okay, because that sounds good. I've been looking for something fun to do this Saturday. What am I going to be
actually,
doing?
Actually, I might have more than one fun thing.
Yeah.
So let's just jump right into our calendar that we call What'll We Do? Well, actually, this is kind of a cool thing. It's called Starlight, and it is free, and it's drop-in art making designed to be enjoyable and accessible for visitors of all ages and all levels of experience with making art, and it's at the Indianapolis Museum of Art.
Oh, cool. So just, like, drop in anytime?
Drop in anytime, any Saturday from noon to 4 in the Pulliam Great Hall. And what's cool about that is lots of times when you think about going to a fine art museum, you think about just looking at art, not making art. But this is very accessible and hands-on, and it's called Starlight.
I think it's time to make some art.
I do, too.
Very good. Hey, I know that we are in the middle of July, Sharon.
Oh, no, you're not going to tell me about auditions for Christmas Carol, are you?
No, I have an auditions for Nutcracker.
Oh!
Indianapolis School of Ballet. I'm just going to get this
the rewind
quick.
Button?
I know, it's true. They're having auditions for the Nutcracker. They're coming up in August. It's not for a little while, but, you know, it's not too early to start thinking about that. If you've got some kids who want to audition for Nutcracker, maybe now is the time. You can get more information at the website for Indianapolis School of Ballet, ISB, or indieballet.org to find out about how to prepare for that. But
so
they're not
wrong.
Doing it until December.
It's so wrong. Hey, Lily, Oncology on Canvas is still on exhibit. In fact, all the way up through July 24th. It's on display at the Wellness Community Center for Cancer Support in Indianapolis, June 26th through July 24th. So it's been up for a couple of weeks, but you still have time to catch it. And it is an exhibit honoring the physical and emotional journeys that people have faced when confronted by a cancer diagnosis. So it's art by people who've been affected by cancer, by people who've been diagnosed with, but also their loved ones and their friends and supporters. So very, very good show, beautiful, moving art, and you should go check it out. Oncology on Canvas. Eli Lilly sponsoring this, and it's on view at the Wellness Center.
And at the Phoenix Theater, opening on the July 16th and running through August 15th, The Do's and Don'ts of Time Travel. Sort of a how-to piece. It's a love story, and what I'm just most intrigued about is at one point during this love story, the main characters dress up as James Bond and Pussy Galore. And so how fun is that? That alone makes me want to go see it. The Do's and Don'ts of Time Travel, again at the Phoenix Theater, opening on the 16th, and it should be a lot of fun.
Woohoo! Let's see. There is so much going on this summer. You know, here's something that might be fun to do. I'm kind of into a hands-on groove today on our calendar segment.
Okay.
You can go for just $3 and do something so fun, so therapeutic, and just so physical that I don't know how you can possibly pass it up. You ready?
I'm ready.
It's on Tuesday, July 14th. It is a community drumming circle from 12:30 to 1:30. So you, yes, even you and I could leave our day jobs, leave the office, go over there at lunchtime.
Go drum for lunch.
Drum for lunch at the Idle Jorg. It's a community drumming circle. You go over, you pay $3, you learn how to drum. It's harder than it sounds, but more fun, too. So community drumming circle on Bastille Day. No connection, but at the Idle Jorg.
And when you're there at the Idle Jorg, you can go by the Indiana State Museum and check out the Hoosier Salon's 85th annual exhibition of juried paintings, drawings, and sculpture featuring, this year, 109 Indiana artists. It's their big show that they do each year, and it just it's opening on the 13th, and then it runs through September 6th.
Very good. You know, the Easley Winery is featuring a music series that's going on Tuesdays and Saturdays. On Tuesdays, it's from 5 to 7 p.m., and on Saturdays, from 2 to 5 p.m. And some of the upcoming artists include Bill Langton this Saturday, July 11th, 2 to 5. And then Don and Savannah Smith on Tuesday, July 14th. And also the trio Tonos Triad on the following Saturday, July 18th. So lots of cool stuff going on at the Easley Winery Garden.
You want to see some dry rot, Sharon?
Other than in my 1911 house, sure.
Dry Rot's actually the title of a show, a series
art
of
show?
An art show, a series of paintings by Blythe Hager, and it is taking place at Healing Arts Indy, which is a gallery I've not been to yet. Have you been there?
I haven't. I've been reading good things about it.
Well, I think we need to get down there soon. It's on South Meridian Street, 805 South Meridian Street. And even though we missed the opening for this show, it does run through the end of July. And again, it's a series called Dry Rot, paintings by Blythe Hager. I just love the title. Dry Rot.
Does she work in wood?
You know,
are they really paintings?
They're actual paintings. They're actual paintings.
Cool.
And, actual paintings dealing with... Well, with dry rot.
I have no idea how to get from there to here, except that maybe you enjoyed the movie The Wedding Singer, and now you can see it on stage at Footlight Musicals, where it's just opened. Lots of fun. And then also, Epilogue Players is just opening the shop at Sly Corner, so some great things on stage for you to take in.
And also, you know what, at the end of the month, this sounds like a lot of fun, up at Park Tudor, they're doing the school edition of Rent. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the weekend of July 23rd through the 25th, and then also on the 26th, they're doing, it's still, you know, it's not recommended for super young kids, but it is, it's a school version of Rent that Park Tudor's Summer Stock Stage is doing.
Great program. Yeah. Lots of talent over there. Hey, you heard about this a couple of weeks ago on The Art of the Matter, but don't forget to get yourself down to take in Making It in the Midwest, Artists Who Chose to Stay, which is an exhibition of artists who have figured out how to make a life and make a living while staying in the Midwest. It's at the Indiana State Museum, and it features a lot of artists whose names you will recognize. Runs through October 18th, but don't wait until fall to go.
No. Hey, last thing I've got, Sharon, is just a reminder that the 2009 International Film Festival starts on July 15th and runs through the 25th, and it is at the IMA, at the Toby, with more than 30 full-length films this year, as well as 73 shorts and documentaries and comedies and animated films, and it sounds great. Check out indiefilmfest.org for the full schedule.
Here's something kind of edgy to wrap up my listings today. The Indianapolis Early Music Festival is featuring this coming Sunday, the 12th, E. Furiosi with a concert called Addicted to Love. I know that music video from the 80s
Robert
just flashed
Palmer.
Into a lot of people's minds with the women in the tight dresses. I don't think you'll see exactly that, but you might want to go check it out at 7:30 this coming Sunday at the new Basile Opera Center.
Excellent. Well, and we will be back next week with tight dresses and more things to do during the summer. on
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
It has a museum, a zoo, a baseball park, and so much more, and it's right downtown. We're talking about the White River State Park, of course, Indiana's only urban state park. Travis DiNicola spoke with the park's executive director, Bob Witt, about what's going on there this summer.
Bob, welcome back to Art of the Matter. How are you doing today?
It's just great to be back, Travis. Thank you for having me, and we're having a great day in the park.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I think the last time we sort of got together was maybe about a year ago, talking about what was going on in the White River State Park during the summer, and here we are again, middle of summer, and there is a ton of stuff, I know, going on the rest of July and August down at the White River State Park, which is Indiana's only urban state park.
It is indeed. It's also Indiana's only cultural state park. So we have a number of offerings, from the venues to the events to our family art series concerts, it's a full summer.
Let's quickly just give a rundown of the different venues. Obviously, you're located right in downtown Indianapolis. Some people might not realize some of the venues that are part of the park.
I run into that all the time, actually. We don't have a fence around the entire perimeter, so for a lot of folks, they visited the park without even knowing it. But the park actually entails a military park, the canal from the river over to New York Street, the Idle George Museum, the Indiana State Museum, the IMAX Theater, the NCAA and their Hall of Champions Museum, the Indianapolis Zoo, White River Gardens, Victory Field, where the Indians play, and the lawn at White River State Park concert venue. In addition to that, there are a number of large green spaces. So overall, it's about 270 acres.
It's pretty impressive. That's absolutely great. And as you said, sure, a lot of people have been to maybe an Indians game or the zoo or the Idle Jorg, and I even realized they were enjoying a state park at the same time.
See it every day.
It's such a treasure in downtown Indianapolis. And, of course, you know, each of those venues that you mentioned have tons of great events going on. There's always interesting festivals and fairs going on in Military Park. And even just on your borders over at IUPUI, you've got the tennis championships coming up.
Absolutely, yeah, and we do a lot of cross-pollination, if you will, of visitors who come for events here or there throughout downtown, and then also come and visit us at the park. So it really the energy downtown is just great.
Well, tell me about some of the specific events you have at the park coming up this summer. I know there's a great family series.
Yeah, the Family Art Series, this is our second year, and it was very, very, very well received last year. In fact, we received, the Arts Council of Indianapolis gave us the Artful Impact Award for our Family Art Series last year, and we're very, very thankful and proud of that. We're coming back again this year. It's thanks to the Alan Whitehall Clues Foundation and the Lilly Endowment. Their generous grants have allowed us to put these performances on, and all of the performances in the Family Art Series are free. Families or groups can come down, bring a picnic, bring a bottle of wine if you like, and enjoy some of our great Indianapolis performing arts. We have so many great organizations that perform here in Indianapolis, and our goal is to not only bring new people potentially down to White River State Park, but also bring new audiences to these wonderful performing arts organizations.
It's great that Clues supports this. Give me just a reminder exactly physically where in the park do these family festival events take place?
They occur, weather permitting, down at the Celebration Amphitheater, which is, for those of you who kind of have the geography, the Celebration Amphitheater is kind of a natural amphitheater that's right by the old Washington Street Bridge, which is now a sculpture park. It kind of sits between Washington Street Bridge and NIFS, and it's tiered with Indiana limestone. And once you get down to the park, we're going to have a lot of signage and people around to direct you to the venue. But it really is a spectacular.
It's a very cool spot to see performances. And as you mentioned, if you've ever walked around and wondered, like, well, why is it tiered here and what are those stones doing here? Well, it's made up specifically for programs like this.
Exactly. And it's a very intimate setting with a beautiful backdrop of the White River. So our first performance actually is this Saturday, July 11th. And we're going to bring back Grammy Award-winning artist Bill Harley, a very popular family artist, and the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra, as well as local storyteller Bob Sander. So that's going to be a great performance. Mm-hmm. By the way, if it is, we do have a little the weather forecast could go either way at this point. And if it does rain, we do have a backup location, which is the George Washington School, which is just to the west of us on Washington Street. They've got a fully renovated amphitheater there, performing arts area, and with an orchestra pit and everything that we would need to do the performances there. And following up, we've got Saturday, July 25th. We've got Dance Kaleidoscope, a fabulous, fabulous modern dance company. And they're going to be putting on two educational performances as well as two full performances. And that kicks off at about 5:15 with what's called the Mongo Boy Music School.
That'll be fun. You know, and if you've never seen Dance Kaleidoscope, this is such a great opportunity to go check out what is a really fantastic modern dance company that actually had its origins in educational practice. So that's still a big part of what they do.
It is indeed, and it's a wonderful. They really involve the crowd and certainly the children. In those first two performances, again, they're doing four, and they're all different. So it's a full evening of great modern dance. Then on Friday, July 31st, we've got Friday the 31st and Saturday, August 1st, the Heartland Actors Repertory Theater is doing Much Ado About Nothing.
That I'm really looking forward to. I really enjoyed last year when they did Merchant of Venice. What a great production that was.
It was fun, and you know, it was overfill capacity last year, and that's why we decided we're going to add a second performance. So we're doing it both the Friday and Saturday. Looking very much forward to that. And then Saturday, August 15th, we've got Young Actors Theater performing, as well as the orchestra project, and that is a kind of contemporary, classical, casual orchestra. They play everything from rock to other kinds of music as well, and are very it's a very, very talented group, and so that'll be a great show. And then Saturday, August 29th. We've got Jazz in the Park featuring Kathy Morris and a number of other jazz performances. And Kathy is bringing a number of her friends, and we've got some folks who are going to be appearing at Jazz Fest coming up. And so it's going to be a great collection of jazz for that evening. And, again, you can come bring food. We will have food available. Food and drink available for sale, or you can come and bring that with you.
Have a picnic.
And again, all of these are absolutely free.
Hey, Bob, there's a website, I know, for White River State Park. Let's give that now because I know you've got the full schedule on there.
Certainly. It's www.inwhiteriver.com.
There you go. That's nice and easy. Now, you've also got some other cool events I want to mention. In addition to this, the family series, one thing I'm excited about is Drum Corps International, which is a great organization that moved to Indianapolis a year ago and had their world championships down in Bloomington last year, is now having their world championships at Lucas Oil Stadium for, in fact, the next 9 years. And as part of that, they're having their fanfare on the grounds of the White River State Park this year.
Yes, and we're very excited. They are going to be in pretty much all of the main green spaces, the lawn concert venue, as well as Celebration Plaza, which sits just to the north of NCAA and the Hall of Champions. And basically what they're going to do, you know, they do full dress rehearsals prior to their performances. Mm-hmm. They get the crowd really involved. They, of course, have large crowds that actually follow them from competition to competition, this being the Olympics, if you will,
yeah, it is.
Of of their art, and it's going to be a very exciting thing. And again, that's going to be free to the community to come down and see these organizations. And I went to the event 2 years ago, and it's amazing, the talent, the precision of these young people, mm-hmm. and something that's a very, very unique activity.
And from the park,
they're actually going to just march straight down to Lucas Oil Stadium.
That'll be pretty cool.
So it'll be fun.
And that'll be, they'll have the fanfare events going on. And as you said, it's free pretty much all day, noon to 9 on Friday, August 7th, starting at 8 a.m. until 9 p.m. on Saturday, August 8th, as all the different groups, the Blue Devils and so many more get ready for the World Championship competition down at Lucas. That'll be a lot of fun.
And again, food and drink will be available there, as well as various souvenirs, and it's just a great community gathering opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about some other things going on at the park. I know you've got, we just have a little bit of time here, but some other concerts as well.
Well, let me run through the remainder. We're well into the concert season. Mm-hmm. We have on July 22nd, Incubus coming. On August 4th, Crosby, Stills, Nash. On August 25th, we've got Bonnie Raitt with Taj Mahal. And then on August 30th, the Moody Blues.
Great.
So it's a great lineup.
Excellent. Well, Bob, it's a real pleasure chatting with you about everything going on at the White River State Park. Always love going down there, and thanks for the work that you do down there.
Well, thank you so much for having me and helping us get the word out.
Travis DiNicola with the White River State Parks Executive Director, Bob Witt. For more information about the park, visit inwhiteriver.com, inwhiteriver.com.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4. It's our summer special reading show. We'll be revisiting a number of interviews with local authors.
Let's see, there's going to be a true crime story, biography of the world's tallest woman, and a couple surprises too, Sharon.
Cool.
And of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call What Do We Do?
So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter is made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by grants from the Arts Council of Indianapolis and from the City of Indianapolis. And by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.